Great to be here. You can call me Pastor Bob. Just don't call me late for lunch today, okay? I love going to churches where they have lunch afterwards. Oh, I'm so excited. In fact, that kind of shortens my preaching, and everybody said amen, you know. You might say after starting to listen to me after a while, you might go, thank God he's a short-winded preacher. I don't know. Boy, it's great to be here. The King is in the room, guys. The King is in the room, and I'm going to do something just a little bit different just to start off, if you don't mind. On my way here today, I was just praying, looking over my notes, praying again, looking over my notes, just thinking about it. And I've done this in the past a long time ago, and I just think that there's somebody here this morning that you need prayer, specific prayer. I know we prayed for needs at random and in general, but this morning, if you're here, I'd like for you to stand, that you would like people to lay hands on you. Maybe you don't want them to lay hands on you, but the Bible speaks of elders of the church, leaders in the church, laying on of hands, and people would be healed. Do you believe that, church, that God still moves and does the same things he did 2,000 years ago, he does them today? That people would be healed, that your life would change, that your finances would be restored, that your circumstances can be reversed. So maybe you're some, maybe I missed God, I don't know, I've missed him plenty of times before, but maybe you're here this morning and you'd like specific prayer. I'd just like for you to stand and maybe come to the front, or just stand where you are, and we'd like to pray with you. You don't have to tell your need right out loud. Is there anybody here? Everybody's good? It's okay to have needs. All God's people have needs. Okay, well, I missed it, but that's okay. I want you to know that if you're here and you didn't feel comfortable standing, that's okay. God can still, he doesn't need me, he doesn't need this church to pray for you. All I'm telling you is that he is here and he wants to meet your need right where you're at. If you turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, I'm getting to that age where I got to pull out my glasses. Boy, how many people like getting older? Is that a thing? Anybody like getting older? I am not a fan. I have grandkids, though. I love grandkids. I have a 5-year-old granddaughter. Her name is Joy, and a 7-year-old grandson whose name is Gage. They made me these bracelets. I wear them everywhere I go. It says, Gage loves Papa, and Joy loves Papa. I am Papa. And I'm proud to be. Now, when my daughter, when she first got married and then got pregnant, I said, I don't want to be a grandpa. I don't want to be a papa. That makes me old. I'm like, bring it on. Give me more grand. Anybody got grandkids? Yeah, you know the feeling. It's great. My son, he's been married how many? 3 years? 4 years? 4 years. How long? Five, and he doesn't have grandkids yet. Would you pray with me that he gets the Holy Ghost?
No, not until
you know, they did move to Ohio at Christmas time, and we are bummed, but we love our grandkids. In fact, my daughter says, Dad, the only reason you come over here is to see the grandkids. I went, oh, okay. Now that we got that settled, now where are my grandkids? But yeah, I love my grandkids. You know, it's not the same as, your children just aren't the same. I mean, I don't spank my grandkids. I don't, they know, they can tell me, they told Mom, my wife Michelle is here, and she's called Mama G. And she goes, why do you ask Papa for everything? It's because Papa doesn't ever say no. Papa lets us do what I want. And you know what? That is truth. I let them do whatever they want. Joshua chapter 1. We'll start reading at verse 1. Oh, my phone just shut off. That's the slow thing about phone. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I with Moses was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are in this place. You said you are two or more gathered together in your name, that you are here in the midst. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you, touch every believer in this place. If there are people here who do not know you, God, let them get a sense of who you are, and begin to talk to them and speak to them and tell them that you sent your Son for them and died on a cross for them. God, not one word that I say today, don't let anything I say be heard except your words this morning. God, you are a good God. Where you are, there is peace and prosperity. God, our needs are met where you are. And so, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for today, this special day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love the Bible. I love the stories in the Bible and the drama. I love all the things that I read every time I open the book. The Old Testament, I'm really partial to the Old Testament. I think there's just the wars and the battles that go on. Those just intrigue me. How God is always with his people and he fights and goes ahead of their battles. It's just great lessons that are being taught throughout the Old Testament. In the first five books, we go from creation into the creation of human history. And the first five books, called the Pentateuch, is really a powerful. If you don't like the Bible, or if you don't understand the Bible, it's really easy. The first five books, that's the book of the law. But the sixth book is the book of Joshua. And that is my favorite book in the Bible. That is where God begins to connect with his people and shows that he is going forth with them and going, that he's going forth with them and that he's guiding their steps. There's nothing like that book, the book of Joshua. But I want you to notice something here in the book of Joshua, that there's a great transition here. The book opens up, the book of Joshua opens with after the death of Moses. After the death of Moses. That's showing a transition. The word after meaning it's in the past. Afterwards, it's already happened. A transition has taken place. It's like the word after is the kind of transition that takes place when a young person leaves his family and starts off on his or her own, or when a marriage takes place and the young people leave their father and mother to establish a new home. Like I said, there's a transition taking place. So we can say it's a transition. Joshua is a transitional book. This nation of Israel is migrating to a new future. Everything in this book is moving except God. Everything in this transition is moving except God. Israel is transitioning physically, leaving their nomadic life after being enslaved for 430 years. They are on the edge of a new beginning. Though it's an exciting time, the timing is different. It's a challenging time. It's a different time. Israel is preparing to leave their wilderness wandering and become settlers in a new land. The land is rightfully theirs, but they do not remember it. They came home, but they've never been there before. Their ancestors left 400 years ago, so they have no memory of what they are about to possess. They have no history to look back on, to know that it is good. They just know that it's new. Israel is facing a new future without their old leader, Moses. It's a transition taking place. But he's not just any leader. He was Moses. He was the mighty man of power and authority. God said of other prophets, "Have I spoken to Moses?" But Moses, "I have seen him face to face." God said again, of the other prophets I have spoken to, but Moses, "I have seen him face to face." He says this in Deuteronomy so clearly, Deuteronomy 34:10. "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent to him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land." Verse 12, "For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel." Moses was the man. He was the man of his day. Moses was a living legend. Moses was in a class by himself. Moses was the man. He was a man full of faith and power. You see, it was Moses who stretched the rod over the Red Sea, which caused it to split. It was Moses who established the covenant of the law. It was Moses that brought down the plans for the tabernacle. It was Moses who prayed until the manna fell from heaven. It was Moses that turned bitter waters into sweet. It was Moses who declared the power of God until the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day to guide them. It was Moses that gave shade. It was Moses that prayed until God sent quail from heaven. It was Moses that gave them covering. See, everything they knew about God had come through Moses. It was Moses who showed them the power of God that shook the mountain. It was Moses who rebuked the sins of Israel. It was Moses who brought down the commandments. It was Moses who cleansed the leprosy off his sister. It was Moses who, when God wanted to talk to somebody, it was Moses he talked through. When God wanted to heal somebody, it was Moses. When Israel was sick, it was Moses who held up the serpent to heal them. The only problem is that Moses went up on a hill and he never came back. Israel was trying to figure out what life was going to be like without Moses. We're almost to the promised land, and Moses is gone. What are we going to do without Moses? What are we going to do? We've never been in this place before. What are we going to do? Israel cried for days. Days turns into weeks, and finally it's been a month. In Joshua 1:2, God says, "My servant Moses is dead now." That's that word "now." It's kind of like when your mom was in the other room and you and your siblings were fighting, and then one starts to cry and crying and crying, and mom goes, "What's going on over there?" "Joe's crying, Mom." "Well, tell him to stop." And we say, "Shut up, Joe. Just don't make Mom mad. You don't want Mom to come in here." And then out of the other room, "You don't want me to come in there. Stop now." That word "now" is what God is saying. Stop crying now. Stop crying now. This is the time. You see, everything's transitioning. Everything is changing. Israel doesn't know what to do. Things are changed. It's not the way it used to be. What are we going to do? Moses has always been here. He's always led us. He always knew what to do when things would go wrong. He would always help us know what God wanted. What? God, help us. Help us. We just don't know what's going on. What are we going to do without Moses? It's not going to be the same without Moses. You see, change is different. Change is scary. I want to just make this note. Listen, change moves us from facts to faith. Change moves us from facts to faith. Facts are what we know and what we've experienced. You see, Israel, they fought battles with other nomadic tribes. They knew how to do that. But now they have to fight tribes in fortified cities into the promised land. No more wandering about. Now they have to go in and possess the land and build cities and build places to live. There's no more tent living. No more free meals. The manna and quail have stopped. We have to work on our own provisions, Israel's saying now. Things are changing. Change is scary. God did not get upset. God didn't get upset. You see, just because things were changing, God knew they were going to change. Change is scary. Remember, change moves us from fact to faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Change moves us from fact to faith. God did not get upset, as I said. He did not get upset when Moses died. He did not go wring his hands and say, I didn't see this far ahead. They're on the promised land side, and they're not on the promised land side yet, but God didn't wring his hands. He just went, Moses is dead. He didn't get upset. He said, Moses, you welcomed Moses in to the afterlife. And then he looked down at Josh and said, okay, Joshua, you're up. You're in charge. You're the man. You're going to be the man. You see, Moses was dead. God's purpose was still alive, and Joshua was now the key figure to fulfill God's plan. God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. For many years, Pastor Athey had pastored here and just did phenomenal work, but God has moved him to a different area, a different season in his life. So this church is going to begin to move into a different season of life. There's no woe is me. What are we going to do? Pastor Lee always knew what to do. Pastor Lee's here. So I'm not saying anything he hasn't heard or isn't going to hear. But Pastor Lee, as his exit, was to pray that God take this church to the next level. And so this church is ready for a different season. So God, just as Israel, Moses brought the Israel to one place and then needed somebody else to lead them into the next season of life. And that's what's happening here today. Pastor Lee did such a phenomenal job in the years that he was here. He led this church as far as God wanted him to. And now he's moved on to a different season in life. And now this church, since the beginning, God's had a plan for this church. Since the beginning, as this church opened, God has had a plan for this church. The plan hasn't changed. Preachers have changed, but the plan has not changed. God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. In August of 2019, our superintendent at that time was Victor Smith. And we got a phone call on Tuesday night, second week in August, and I've got a phone call and that he had suddenly passed. And 45 days later, I was elected to be the superintendent for our state. And it was a tough time between that time of Pastor Vic passed and the vote to bring me in as superintendent. Our district was mourned. Victor Smith was a friend of ours. He wasn't just the superintendent. He was somebody who was well-loved and well-liked. He was a compassionate man. He was a good leader. He loved people, and he loved this church being the Assemblies of God in South Carolina. It was tough. When I got voted in the first time, I remember the vote. I remember coming up to accept the vote of confirmation. And the first thing in my head was, what am I going to do now? I didn't go to school to be superintendent. I didn't know how to be superintendent. What was being a superintendent? I had been the state youth director for 24 years. I like that. Camp is fun. Convention is fun. Mission trips were fun. That's fun. I didn't see anything fun about the superintendent job from my chair to what I did. And I love young people, and we loved camps. But it was time to transition me out of that place into a new place, and for a reason. Just different skill sets, different gifts that I had are needed for this time. But It was tough. I just remember saying to myself, what am I going to do now? What has God got for me? What has God got for me? I didn't, like I said, didn't go to school, superintendent school. There was no baton to pass. There was no training. I just learned on my own. Before Moses' death, Joshua was designated to be his successor. Joshua had worked with Moses for at least 38 to 40 years while in the wilderness, so he had some kind of idea what the job entailed. He went up to the mountain. When Moses went up to the mountain to meet God, Joshua went with him. When Moses had made Joshua the general over the armies of Israel during that time of the wilderness. But now Josh had 3 million people to lead and to take possession of the promised land. Joshua, I imagine Josh kind of got weak-kneed when God said, Joshua, you're up. You're to take Moses' place. Remember, Moses was a legend. Moses had everything going on. Moses did everything right. Remember when Moses tapped the rock and the water came out? Remember when people were sick and dying all around and Moses held up the serpent's sign and we were all healed? Remember Moses did all these things. Moses always talked for God. What are we going to do without Moses? That's the things that's running. I can't be like Moses. Joshua's saying, I can't be like Moses. He probably went off to him in the wilderness somewhere. And he's probably thinking, he said, maybe I just need to resign. I don't know that I can fill Moses' shoes. I don't know that I can do this. And you always have second guessings. You always have a place where sometimes when you're put in situations where you second guess yourself. When I became superintendent, I second guessed myself. I said, God, how are you going to use me? There are two superintendents that I served under. Both were great men. Both passed away. How, God, are you going to use me? I'm nothing like them. I'm not as good in this area as they are. I'm not as good in this area as they are. How can I do this? How are you going to be with me? And that's what he said. He said, I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. Joshua wasn't like Moses. He had different skills. He had different gifts. Moses was called and expected to lead Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. God had expectations for Moses that he did not have for Joshua. God had expectations for Joshua that he did not have for Moses. God expected something different from Joshua. God did not expect Joshua to be like or to lead like Moses. Sometimes God's expectations are different. I think people, as people step into positions of leadership, I think that sometimes they have to compare themselves. The first thing they do is compare themselves to the leader that was before them. And I want you to know that Joshua probably did the same thing. But in the end, he had to find out. He didn't carry a staff or a rod like Moses did to lead them through the wilderness. What Joshua did was carry a sword through the wilderness. But now God's calling him to do something different in his style and his skill set and his giftings. Sometimes we have expectations of new leaders coming in. I want them to be just like the former pastor, because the former pastor did this, and we like that. We like the way the former pastor did. We like the way he preached. We like the way he visited in the sick. He was always there at 5 a.m. in the morning visiting us if we had to have surgery. He was always there for a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning when I struggled. I think for the church, and I'm just going to read a couple things, I think the church has expectations for pastors that differ from what God has called pastors to do. And I'm going to read just a few. Well, I'm going to read a list of things that I've noted over the years of ministry that most churches expect from their pastors. Don't get scared. Here's some expectations for pastors. They are God's man or woman of faith and power. They are never down or discouraged. They take the 3 a.m. phone call from a distressed parishioner. They are at the hospital at 5 a.m. to pray with a surgical patient. They make their hospital visits. They answer the phone during dinner to talk to someone off the ledge. They lead a midweek service. They attend Thursday night prayer meeting. They lead Tuesday morning prayer. They attend the Saturday morning breakfast. They attend church fundraisers. They play or coach church softball teams. They plan and attend all after service fellowship dinners. Praise God, I'd love to have that job. They plan and lead missions trips. They officiate and attend weddings. They facilitate baby dedications, attend men's ministry meetings and women's ministry meetings. They speak at women's conferences and retreats. They teach Sunday school. They lead in a midweek small group. They chair and plan board meetings. They teach in a discipleship group. They have a personal prayer time. They host guest speakers. They agonize over a family leaving the church. They plan and participate in church work days. Their prayer time and intercession for the church body and individual church members. They cut the church grass. Are you going to have to do that? Clean the church building. You know, there was a pastor, he came to a new church, and it was about 4 weeks, and the grass was getting real high at the church, and he was brand new, and he called one of the board members and said, "Hey, the grass is getting pretty high here at the church, and we need somebody to cut it." And the board member said, "Well, our former pastor, he's the one who cut it all the time." He said, "Well, the pastor said, well, I called him, and he said he doesn't want to do it anymore." Sometimes pastors clean church buildings. They work and pray in the altars. Wait until the last person leaves to lock up the building and go home to spend time with his family. Sermon preparation and study time. Sunday school preparation and study time. Wednesday service study and preparation time. Training workers, Sunday school, nursery, youth, and kids. They always have to give us good advice. They must be a good listener. New pastors, or expectations for pastors, they must come up with the vision for the church. They must make sure the vision is followed. They must be the servant to all. Every sermon must be a home run. They must be available to every church minister 24/7. They must preach like a famous Christian personality. They must keep everyone in the church happy. They must make sure worship meets everyone's needs. They must lead worship. They are responsible for the spiritual growth of every church member. They must possess great administrative skills. They must make sure all the bills are paid. They must be an expert in finances, be an expert in raising a family, be an expert in marriage, be an expert in kids and youth ministry. They must have the best ideas. They must be a great problem solver. They must know instinctively when someone is sick or going through trouble without anyone saying it. Every decision must be right, must be a cultural commentator. They must be a peacemaker in troubled marriage. They must pull people out of depression, up to date on the latest news, theological controversies, and political conversations. They must be tech savvy. They must comment on all social media platforms. They must turn the other cheek. They must live like you are a six-figure salary. Uh-oh. You must sing like a bird. You must fast and pray. You must bless us, all while living a life of perfection and holiness for all to see. You must be God's man or woman of faith and power. That's a heavy load to carry. expectations of other people. I think what we would want from our pastor, I think what Easley First is wanting from our pastor is what God wants for our pastor. And I just want to tell you, Pastor Lisa, you don't have to live under any of those expectations. What you have to live under is this. When God called Joshua, he called him to do two things. He said, be strong and courageous. And I'm going to read Joshua chapter 1, 6 again. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. That's number one, lead these people. Number two, the second thing God has called you to do, be strong and courageous and stay in the word. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. He called you to preach the word. He called you to love and lead this church. Those are the things you have to be responsible for. And those are the things that you must do effectively. Those are the expectations of the Lord.